is Apologetics Live. To answer your questions, your host from Striving for Eternity Ministries, Andrew Rappaport.
And we're live. This is not Andrew Rappaport. This is Pastor Justin Pierce. And we're on here today to do Apologetics Live. I want to welcome everybody here. Glad to have everyone. And we're on with the Cluck Commander, Sean. Sean Wall is up here in just a second. We have John Wilkinson. You're unmuted and you're on there. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
All right. Doing great. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to go ahead and pull Sean up on here so we don't waste a lot of time. I want to introduce everyone to Sean. Sean, this is everyone. Everyone, this is Sean. Okay, I'll talk to you later. No, this is Dr. Sean Build That Wall. We call him Dr. Luke. At least that's his flyby name. He's called Dr. Luke for a lot of reasons. Sean, you want to say hi?
Hey, folks.
All right. That was awesome.
Quick. I don't beat around the bush.
Yes, don't beat around the bush. This is, Sean Wall. He's a friend of mine from a while back. I don't remember how many years it's been. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. Practicing doctor. You're a COVID-19 doctor, right?
Yeah, I mean, officially I'm a PA, whatever. Dr. Sean is whatever we call me. I practice medicine. Yes, I've been taking care of COVID patients for the past 3 months, and there's just not been that many of them.
Yeah, it's
compared to what the news media is going to tell you, it's the sky is not falling.
220,000 deaths.
Yeah. I want to say hi to everybody. By the way, if anybody wants to come in and ask questions, we've got a really cool show, I think, tonight. We're going to talk about politics and the Christian perspective. We're going to talk about government and basically everything that's exploded, everything that has exploded in the past few weeks or whatever. We're going to try to kind of touch on those things. If there's anything anybody wants to talk about, ask questions about, look at it from a biblical perspective, argue with us, disagree, or anything else, we would love to have you come on and tell us why we're wrong and why we have the wrong perspective when it comes to these issues. You know, there's everybody's got a perspective. Everybody's got a thought. Everybody's got an idea on what they think that how we should be viewing our government, the leadership. Should we, protect the place or should we burn it down? You know, of course, We've all heard and seen the efforts to burn the nation down. And so we're going to just look at it from whatever perspective we can muster from the scripture and talk about any situation, any discussion you want to talk about, kind of open to those ideas. But as I'm talking about our guest, Sean, you're also not only are you a pastor, I'm sorry, not a pastor. Not only are you not, are you a doctor, but you're also, you also do teach God's word, and, at your church and, the radio station. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So, been on the radio for 8 years now, Grace Life Radio. It's out of Lake City, Florida, but we're on the everybody who's not on the web, you know, graceliferadio.com. And we have a local FM radio station in the Lake City, Florida area, and it's called Word for America on once a week. And basically, we basically talk biblical doctrine and use some topic in the news. And it's what's going to be in the news. It's going to be some political topic. So there's a political topic typically, and we take God's word, have a biblical worldview, and address that topic each and every week. And that's always on Facebook, I believe. It's a Grace Life Radio. So if anybody ever wants to watch that, Wednesday nights around 5:45, 6-ish. And then it's always there on the feed so you can go back and watch. So
that's great. Yeah, I've actually listened to Sean for quite a long time and listen to a lot of the stuff that he goes through and teaches. There's very few people that match me when it comes to dealing with the Masonic Lodge. And I've listened to Sean talk about the lodge, and we're going to actually talk about that next week as well. He's really up to date on, a lot of areas. And the reason is that the scripture calls, every Christian, it calls us to be ready to think rationally and logically and biblically. That's why we do Apologetics Live. And for the same reason, is to help ground Christians in a biblical understanding of what's going on and how we give an answer. We want to exalt Christ, as believers. We need to be ready to give an answer always. In fact, 1 Peter 3:15, that is our apologetics verse, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account. When people want to know what you believe and why do you believe it, it's not your opinion that matters. It's the word of God, and you need to study to show yourself approved. Mm-hmm. They want to know, why do you have hope? Well, if we just have hope in this created world, this, accident of evolution and Big Bang cosmology, then we don't have much hope at all. If we have just hope in Donald Trump or Kamala Harris and her presidency, we don't have any hope. Our hope is in Christ, and we need to be ready to give a reason why, no matter who's in office, we have that as our hope, that as our foundation. Whatever the government says, whatever the people say, whatever the churches say, it needs to be grounded upon the word of God, and we need to speak that with gentleness and respect and reverence. And that's our calling. That's what we need to be about. I think one thing that maybe a little bit lighter note here for a second. We're here to do a show today about with Sean Wall about Christians and politics. So I want to ask you, Sean, have you been enjoying America's first rollout of socialism and all the practice of lockdowns, riots, pandemic fear, and even toilet paper shortages? How's that been going for you? Oh, along with the Summer of Love.
Summer of Love. Yeah, I've enjoyed it about as much as I enjoy kayaking across the Atlantic with a rabid possum on my lap. Does that sum that up pretty well?
Oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. So that's how much I've enjoyed it. But, politically speaking, it's been great. It's a roller coaster ride, for folks like me, that talk politics as well. Yeah. There's always something to talk about.
And that's the thing for me is I try to make sure, because I post a lot of political things, but I try to make sure that I want to keep going back to, thus saith the Lord, the scriptures, and not get my hope or my anxiety from really what's going on. Cause I'm a dispensational Christian. I believe that the Lord's going to return, that he's going to establish his kingdom. But before that happens, I strongly believe that, Jesus says in Luke 18 that, before he returns, it's going to be like it was in the days of Lot and days of Noah. And it's going to be really, really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not the guy that says, oh, we're going to escape this and we're going to get out all the bad stuff. I think we're going to go through a lot of really terrible times. I want everybody to go ahead.
And I don't want to cut you off, but the overarching question is, how bad is it going to get before that happens? Right. Cause we've had, Christians from the beginning of America saying these are the end times, right? You can go back to anything that's been published in any newspaper or any Christian writing, and you've numerous copious amounts of people saying, I believe it's the end of time. So that mantra kind of gets old, right? Let's be honest, that gets old. Because you're like, oh, here we go again. So and so, the fact is that Jesus is coming back.
Yep,
and we don't know when it is.
Exactly.
So our duty, as you you know, greatly and wonderfully opened the show. Our duty is to be ready to give a response to the others, to let them know that he is coming and what he is about. That is our duty. Our duty is not to pull the Harold Camping and get back in the, you know, sit in the backyard in your lawn chairs waiting for the skies to part. Yeah, and we and we have a lot of Christians that do that. I mean, that's what they do. They are so hung up on end time prophecy that they miss the forest for the trees. And, yep. You know, sometimes you got to wrangle with them too.
Yep. Amen. Yeah. I totally agree.
One thing that drives me crazy is people who read their Bible and they open up their newspaper and compare the two. You know, they read the headlines and then they go into Revelation or Ezekiel and or Daniel.
Bingo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the demographic that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we got to be careful that, you know, you think about the date setting and all that stuff. We don't know. You know, it's like you guys said, we don't know, but what we do know is we can tell the seasons and the times are getting closer. You know, as Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, you know, as it was in the time of Lot, you can go and look at that and say, well, what was it like? Well, Bill Murray has a very good answer for that. And I want to actually look at that real quick because I love this. Let's see if I can pull this up for you. Let's see. Hopefully everybody can hear it. If you can't, let me know.
Disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Enough, I get the point.
There it is. That's what it is. Yeah. So that's... That's 2020, guys. I mean, that is
my favorite is Dan Aykroyd there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they all did great. On
yeah,
that.
They're super.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, that's the one. That's, you know, when people ask me, what's it like? What would you say it was like? I kind of wrote this out for you to ask you a question. Imagine you went back 5 years in time and you were going to tell people what it would be like today. What would you say to them? And I was thinking Bill Murray is the perfect definition. You know, you think about it, the insanity, the fires, the destruction, you know, you hear people talking about, you know, we have to take care of everybody because of climate change and global warming. And then you find out that half of these people are now burning down trees and burning down entire forests, you know, and burning down property and everything else. I thought you cared about global warming. I thought you cared about people.
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, things like that are just nonsense. Constantly what we'll get caught up in, what Christians will get trapped in. And since you mentioned climate change, I'll use that for a second. We get caught. And you know, as good as anyone, Justin, it's semantics.
Yep.
So we get trapped in the semantic, you know, closet. Climate change. You know, what is that? What does that even mean? Nobody can even define that for you. You know, it's a nonsensical even statement, and because it's just climate change. Okay, what else? Because it's a semantical term that the liberal left has continued to use, and honestly, only for about the past 5 years. Yeah. Prior to that, global warming. If you remember that. And then you want to just reverse it on back a little further, probably 5, 6, maybe 10 more years after that, maybe around 2005. If you remember El Nino,
yeah,
some people still remember that. It's been the same. It's the same
La
thing.
Nina.
Rehashed. It's the same nonsense. And they talk about it. What drives me, you know, I educationally, I am a scientist. That is where my educational studies are in. You know, I'm basically a practicing, you know, practice medicine from a scientific perspective. Yes, but not a meteorologist. But nonetheless, they talk about the science and the science. There is no science. These are all theories. You talked about the Big Bang theory. These are all theories. And again, Christians will get caught in that trap of theory and semantics, and instead of going back to the basic and asking the question, what are you even talking about? You know, and pointing out the fact that that's just a theory, and let's define theory, and then you can kind of go from there. But instead, we often get trapped. You know, they'll get trapped in, well, I don't know how to answer that question. And it's not being prepared.
I totally agree. You know, and you think about it, we've got Andrew was talking a couple of weeks ago about the October surprise, you know, the Donald Trump tax stuff that came out. You know, I think this has been the October for all October surprises. I mean, you had what's her name, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She, the notorious B.I.G. She died, and she met her maker. Mm-hmm. I disagree, and people get upset, but I disagree when Christians try to eulogize her as if she was somebody that was to be looked up to. She was a proponent for the murder of babies and was a strong, staunch defender of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I take, you talk about one issue voters. I'm not necessarily a one issue voter, but that's the one issue that I will not vote for you if you're going to murder babies.
Yeah.
If you're going to support it or if you're going to nuance it. In fact, the very first time that Trump was running, I didn't vote for him because of that issue, you know, and he made it clear. I'm okay with, I'm pro-life with the exceptions, and he just threw out the typical talking points, and that caused me to say, no, I can't do it. You know, of course, I also wrote in Ron Paul because I thought he got robbed. I thought he got robbed last time.
Sure.
You know, but you think about these October surprises that come around. And these are ones I want to talk about. And this is, we can talk about any bit of this you want to or whatever, but I want to talk about these October surprises. You know, we talked about, we've had people post about the email scandal that's going on right now, the censorship, big tech and all that. And I've got a bunch of videos, a bunch of stuff that I could pull up about those things. But I wanted to start out and ask you, and anybody that wants to talk about it, you know, if anybody wants to jump in or whatever, the point number one there, Sean, is how does a biblical view of God and government, you know, we have to start with Scripture. So how does a biblical view of God and government, how does that play into the Christian life? And I know it does, but I just want to talk to you about it. You know?
Well, I mean, honestly, it depends on your presupposition of theonomy. I mean, if you're a theonomist, I mean, you're going to come away with a different perspective on Romans 13 than a dispensationalist type of, you know, Christian. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a theonomist. You know, I don't believe that we can, you know, I just, the idea of it just brings me back to old, you know, I get it, the old covenant, and I understand the covenants, and that's how theonomists like to semantically talk about things like that. But they'll go back to the old, look, all of Israel was not Israel. Yeah, Paul clearly tells us that in the New Testament book of Romans, and he goes on to give us Romans 13 after he says that, actually. And just trying to make Christians out of non-Christians is not our duty. And we know that that's not going, God has told us that that's not going to happen. Everyone is not going to be converted. In fact, very few are when you look at it in totality. So I'm not going there. I will hold on to the New Testament dispensationalist idea of Romans 13 and a Christian's view of the government, and it should be limited, you know, here comes my libertarian, you know, part of me. It's their duty is to keep us safe. That's it. Yep. That is the duty of the government. And that is according to Romans 13. That is according to what Paul tells us. And that should be their limit. That being said, you will see many, many Christians get into this idea of this socialistic living, this socialistic life. And then where do they go? Acts chapter 2, right? That's where they try to, the ones that even try to use any biblical perspective at all, right? They were sharing and they were giving everything to one another. We're not living in a theonomy, and this isn't all Christians taking care of Christians, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, so, well, that lasted for what, about 35
bingo. It, exactly. So the whole context of that is, number one, is wrong. Number two, it was Christians only. And it was truly a persecuted church. Yep. And do we have some persecution in America? Yeah, somewhat, but nothing like they have in China. I mean, no. It's not even on the same scale. And Americans, we live in such a bubble, and we can't really figure that out most of the time, that when you converse with other believers, you know, professing believers, it's hard to bring people to the real reality of what's happening worldwide. And so to have a biblical perspective, my view is Romans 13, the government's job is to keep us safe. That is it. They shouldn't be in the business of Social Security. They shouldn't be in the business of letting people decide if they can, if a woman can choose, if a man can call himself a she, all of that nonsense. I mean, that's all nonsense. They should be at that. They shouldn't be in the business of any of that. Unfortunately, they are. That is the world we live in, and we have to live with it. Do we have to agree with it? Absolutely not. And thank goodness we do have some sense of a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. We're not a true democracy. People don't understand that either.
That's true.
But we do have some say so in that.
That's true. And you know, you think about that. When you're talking about the biblical perspective on what it means to be governed by, you know, whatever authorities and whatnot, you know, when you're talking about the governing authorities, Romans 13 tells us, you know, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. You know, I posted on there just a second ago, that, you know, Proverbs 21 and Proverbs 8, they both tell me that the king's heart is, you know, is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants. Proverbs 8 tells us that by me kings reign. You know, we have to understand that God establishes the government that we are going to have. He does it for every country, and he's done it for all times because he's always in control. And he allows the governments to rise and fall that have, you know, they fit his predestined definitive will. And what he says is going to happen is going to happen exactly the way he says it's going to happen. And this is his decree. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to. And that's what I was trying to go back and saying. We don't have to worry about who's going to get in office. Yes, I want to have a strong constitutional conservative, you know. You know, you're talking about we all know that, you know, what is her, Amy Coney Barrett is, you mm-hmm. know, doing the, nominating committee, and she's going through all that process. And, she's went through everything under the sun and had every question they could throw at her. But she'll either make it or won't make it based upon what God wants, not based upon, you know, everyone else in the world and their whims. You know, and that's just like with our president and our leaders and everyone else. And we need to understand that we got to start from that perspective, that it's God's way, and there is no highway option. Oops, I lost Sean. Now, he'll be back in a second, I'm sure. So, you know, Proverbs 13, I mean, I'm sorry, Romans 13, it says that every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who which exist are established by God. So we want, from what I can tell, according to these passages, we want to be in subjection because it's God's will. You know, that we surrender to the authorities because it's God's will. And, you know, I mean, people get upset about that. You know, we say, you know, you hear people say, you know, taxation is theft, and so we shouldn't submit to that. And we shouldn't, you know, listen to them because they're not behaving. How do I want to say it? You know, hey, Sean.
Out there.
That's all right. What I was saying is, you know, and from Romans 13, you know, you hear people that will say things like, you know, the taxation is theft issue, and they'll throw that out. And then they will mm-hmm. they will say that if the governing authority isn't passing the litmus test of Christian perfection, according to, you know, whatever their litmus test is, that that we should not obey them.
Right.
And I, what do you think about that?
Well, that, again, your presupposition of where you think the government should be. So again, if you're a strong theonomist, that's where that's how they're going to talk. That's how they're going to speak. But then you're going to have your non-theonomist have a little lax there. Are we going to do things? Are they going to force us to do things that go against what God says? No, you know, even, you know, even the non-theonomist is not going to do that. But again, that whole taxation thing, when you're talking about that and they start saying, you know, getting into the idea of how much we should be taxed. Listen, Jesus was silent on that. No. He was completely, in fact, well, I would say he wasn't silent. Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, he basically said to pay, give to Caesar what Caesar is owed. Now, I understand what the theonomist is going to say. Well, what is he owed? Well, nobody has that answer. We don't know that. The scripture doesn't tell us. I think basically what Jesus was telling us in context, look, you're under their rule. You pay their taxes, whatever they are, no matter what they are. I mean, what if we lived in Denmark? You know, what if we're Christians in Denmark right now? You're going to pay 70%.
Yep.
So, I mean, so what are you going to say about that? You know, again, getting outside that American bubble will put things into perspective for us a little bit, I think.
I agree. Well, see, I think that we, you know, as an Americans, American Christians, Americans in general, so used to the blessings of being under a nation that, you know, was predominantly Christian, that was governed predominantly according to Christian ethics, principles of morality, things like that, that we have gotten so used to people being loving, benevolent, kind, caring to one another, that when we see people behaving in the socialistic manner, in the coveting manner, and the greed and all that, that we're starting to see, once the nation has turned away from God, you know, so much that we are seeing things that are aberrant to us and we don't know how to deal with it. You know, we're, you know, when you start hearing about, you know, the taxation rate getting up to, you know, 50 and 60% and 70%. If you go look and do any studies, there's a cad. If you do any studies, you'll notice that, in the New and Old Testament, based on who was dominating, from Nebuchadnezzar, Caesar, any of them, they would tax people to death, literally. Mm-hmm. They were taxing them to the point where they did not have enough to live off of, and they would slowly die, and they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they didn't care. But the solution was never what? You don't like it? Fight them, go to war. It's not in the Bible.
Not unless you're getting a direct prophecy from God, and that's not going to happen anymore. You know, David Koresh was a crazy man, you know, those types of guys, you know, they're out there, don't get me wrong. And they're out there today. We haven't heard about them, but a good biblical Christian is to know that that's not, you know, canon's closed.
I totally agree. You know, and you think about it, Jeremiah actually did talk about the fact that for an entire nation, if you do not listen to the king and you do not submit to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, and you do not go under his rule, and he's going to be harsh and he's going to hurt, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be injured. But if you do not, then this nation will be destroyed, you know, and they laughed at him until they were, you know, hauled off and under chains. They didn't listen and they were laughing at him. You know, we start talking about the taxation being theft just for a minute. Matthew 22, 17 to 21 tells us that the scribes came along and they asked Jesus, is it lawful to pay the poll tax to Caesar? I'm reading NASB. It says, or not. But Jesus perceived their malice and he said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? He says, show me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he said, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. He looks at them and he says, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And if you look at the context here, the things that are Caesar's is the money. He's saying, you give God the worship he's due because Caesar's not God. You don't worship Caesar as God, but the money's his. So whatever tax he wants to put on you, that's the tax you put on. And to reinforce that idea, Romans 13 addresses that every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those who exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not fear to good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. For as it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword in for nothing. It's like you just said, the whole purpose is protection, you know, the protection of good versus evil. For he's a minister of God, an avenger against the who brings wrath on one whose practice is evil. Therefore, because of all of that, it is necessary that you be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay your taxes. So taxation is what? Not theft. For rulers are a servant of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to, and he says it twice, render to all that is due, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor. And what blows my mind about that is, where was he at when he was saying it? He was under the leadership, the authority, the rule of the sovereign Roman Empire as an inmate. I mean,
yeah. Well, and the whole thing, like you said, you know, you're right, the mantra of taxation is theft. You know, how much are we being taxed? You know, that in the end is the real question. Yeah. But there are a group of people, there are a group of professing Christians that believe that all taxation is theft.
Yeah.
The reality of that is no government in the world, not a single government in the world can operate without taxation.
Yeah.
It's an impossibility. It can't. Saudi Arabia, with all of the oil that they have, they could still not operate. You know, they're a theonomy, right? They got the wrong theo, but they're a theonomy. Yep. They still couldn't operate without taxation of the people, even with all of that oil. So that's just back equivalent to the climate change nonsensical statement.
Yeah,
that's just as moronic to say that. You know, we shouldn't be taxed at all. We have fun, you know, have fun living, you know, out in Davy Crockett land.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a great point here when you're talking about, you know, the issues of the government. You know, they bring in the money, the taxation, they bring in taxation. And I mean, here's what bothers me when I hear politicians talk about, you know, that we need this money so that we can improve your lives, if you will. We want to bring out your infrastructure improvements. Well, now wait a minute. If that's the case, hire, you know, have I don't know, 100 people or 500 businesses or whatever, you know, bid on this job. And have them, the best one with the best reputation, with the best, you know, ability to do the job, let them that gets the job done, let it be a private, you know, a company, a private employee that comes and does the work and not the government. Because the government can, as Ronald Reagan says, that nobody can mess up a country like the government can.
That's right.
You know, there's nobody that can destroy and overprice and over everything like the government can. It, you know, they're not going to fix a free market economy. Go ahead.
Well, and the reason being is because they get outside of the lane that they have been given by God to begin with, which exactly. is to protect their people. Once they go outside of that lane, which they do, in most large American cities today, their goal is not even to protect the people. In fact, they are wanting to defund police who yeah. are to patrol and protect the people. They are actually doing the opposite and still wanting to tax you. Go to New York City. New York City to this very day is wanting to raise taxes because they have to, right? We got to raise taxes because of COVID, nonsensical garbage. They have already defunded the police intentionally. So they are going completely in the opposite direction. And it's wicked, and they will pay the consequences. And when I say they are still part of the United States of America. I get mm-hmm. it. But that community, that city is going to feel it first. Yeah. And that is a complete, you know, obviously they are running and turning away from God. And that will be the consequences. Are there Christians in New York City? Absolutely, there are Christians there. Unfortunately, we will be part of those casualties when it comes to government fail. We have been forever. I mean, yeah. I mean, look at read the Old Testament. You know, it's the exile still had some good believing people in them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hey, I've got a person that's KT and Jesus has come on and been on with us for a long time. And so I want to throw this question out here. Actually, there's two questions. Let me get this first one. Do we get to see some chickens tonight? And that is for the Cluck Commander. So he has to find us a chicken.
No, you're on mute. Yeah, the cat is enough. I would say the cat was enough. So, yeah.
Cats and chickens living together, mass hysteria.
That's right.
So the next one is Hunter Biden's laptop story is what's been the latest thing, and social media seems to be covering that up. We got a lot to talk about on that in a little bit. Just want to throw it out there in honor of the question. So if Sean, what you got? You got anything on that you want to talk about real quick?
On which one? Which question?
On the laptop. Of course, you know we've got some stuff we're going to throw up anyway. So
you talking about the Hunter Biden issue?
Yeah.
The Hunter Biden?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you know, this is not the first time that this has come up. Obviously, it's the first time that we've had any real objective data, apparently. You know, I'm still reserving. I'm not going to jump out there and say this is the smoking gun, yada yada yada. It seems plausible, but you know, let's be careful, right? That type of thing.
Yeah.
That being said, in the past, you know, this type of thing with Hunter Biden is not new. We know about Burisma. We know about him sitting on the board and all of that. I have not been one. I have politically. I think it's not been a smart move. It's not been a good move to focus on that. Hunter Biden's not running for the presidency. That being said, I understand the connections with mm-hmm. Joe Biden, Biden being implicated. Now, previously, we had no objective data of that. It was all hearsay. So my political opinion was like, stay away from it because it's all opinion. We should stay out of that business of the theory and the opinion. Now, we've got something that's a little bit different, something that's a little bit hard of evidence. Potentially, now it could be something, and obviously the timing of it was purposeful. It's dropped, you know, 3 weeks prior to the election, but this always happens. There's always, like you said, it's an October surprise. It happens on both sides. It happens on both sides of the aisle. And look, the Democrats aren't done either. They tried the same thing with Trump's taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I could care less about. I don't care what he's paid. If he's paid zero, good for him. If he's done it legally, good for him. I want to know his secrets.
Well, I found out what his secret is, though, when it comes to his taxes. What they haven't talked about is the fact that when they want him to give his tax information, and when they got his tax information, it was for the years that he completely divested himself of his business, gave it over to his children, and that money that he was supposed to be getting as president, he was donating, and he still is donating.
Right, $550,000, I think.
He has a big goose egg for an income, and so no, he doesn't pay taxes. But by the way, even when he's able to, as a millionaire, to get around paying taxes the legal way, see, my concern with that is not how does a millionaire get by with not paying taxes, but how does a government employee become a millionaire on a $150,000 to $200,000 salary?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the $64 million question. Yeah, really, but you're not allowed to ask that, right? That's the type of thing you know,
shadow banned.
Right, when you've got morons like Senator Blumenthal, you know, the Vietnam veteran, not really,
yeah.
I mean, he's one of the worst, but you know, he's worth millions and he's done nothing. He's literally done nothing. Joe Biden, his whole career, 47 years. And I mean, we talk about Bernie Sanders, you know, Bernie Sanders he's never had a real job. Joe Biden has never had a real job either. Yeah. And people don't realize that.
He's a hair care product, inspector.
He's the sniffer.
Yeah, the sniffer.
But I really don't care about Trump's taxes, and previously I didn't care about Hunter Biden, but now there could be some implications with Joe Biden. The problem with Joe Biden is he's not going to remember any of it. When he says I don't remember, I believe him.
You know what bothers me about the situation is that they spent billions of dollars in our tax money.
That's the problem.
Go after Trump and go after everybody that they could. I remember when I was doing landscaping work before I had my surgery, I'm sitting and I'm listening to somebody, and a news report came across, and this was when Obama was in office. Just as he was, just about to be leaving office, a report came out exposing, and I think it was Sean Hannity, but it might've been somebody else, exposing that it was found out that I'm trying to think which agency it was. It might've been the IRS was targeting conservatives, targeting Christians.
It was the IRS. Yes.
Was it IRS?
Yeah, the IRS was doing this. Yep.
And they were doing it on the behalf of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going after, and I'm thinking to myself, this is not good. And then I come to find out Hillary Clinton and the, Benghazi thing, and I'm like, this is not good. It goes from not being good to, when is it that any of our leadership will be held accountable? Because here's my issue as a Christian. I'm expecting that if I am involved in error or sin, that Sean, John, you guys love me enough to correct me. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I expect that you're going to correct me. And if you have to, you're going to discipline me because you love me. Where's the same amount of respect and love for these people to hold them accountable for their best good? It used to be seen that the role of government to hold that sword, to wield the sword, is the idea of true biblical justice. Yeah. Fast and furious, all those things that have just went under the table. All of this stuff, no matter how much it gets exposed, nothing happens.
Well, that goes to show you, but you think about that too, with Fast and Furious. I mean, the one who is in power has much more control to cover those things up and to push them under the rug. That's why Benghazi was what it was. That's why the Fast and Furious was what it was. If that was an opposite presidency, number one, we're not even talking about Fast and Furious, and we're not even talking about Benghazi, because those things don't happen in a normal type of president. Well, I would say a normal type of president, in someone who has any ethics at all. When it comes to that, both of those situations were absolutely horrendous. you know, Hillary Clinton is 100% responsible for Benghazi. We know it. She was the Secretary of State. When people talk about her emails, that was the big part of what her emails were, was Benghazi. And people forget that. They're just like, oh, she had some emails and there were some bad stuff in them. No, that was Benghazi. That's why, you know, we have a dead ambassador and we have dead soldiers because of her nonsense.
Well, let me ask you
even to this day, no repercussions.
Let me ask you a question. You were in the military. You're still in reserves, right? Okay, you are. You're still in reserves, and I thank you so much for that. God bless you and keep you safe, and may you never see harm. And I mean that. So one of your higher ranking officials calls you and says, come and report here. Bring your laptops, bring your computers, and your cell phones. And you say what to them? Yes, sir. When you want to be there?
Yeah, you mean just in any situation whatsoever? Yeah.
They tell you to come.
Yeah, you follow the order.
You're right there. So what would happen to you if you bleach bit all the stuff and then take a sledgehammer and destroy every drop that you can?
You can stop right there. I would have been court-martialed and I would be in Leavenworth right now.
So why?
I would be in Fort Leavenworth.
Yeah. So why is it?
Prison.
That none,
when I say Fort Leavenworth, prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that none of our government leaders are held to that type of accountability? Because when I was a police officer, and here's what I want to ask. When I swore an oath as a police officer, I was informed that if I violate the Constitution of the United States, I could look at life in prison or worse. That I need to be very careful, because violating the Constitution, which I'm sworn to uphold and protect, it holds with it the implication that comes with it, that is, if you violate it, you can become a treasonous person and end up in federal custody or worse. I know it's that way in the military. I mean, I've
it's the same. Yeah, it would be the same with me. It would be the same with me. And it's, by the way, you're welcome, Clay, for that. I see that the service. But the reason being is because of, you know, I hate to say it, it's because of what Donald Trump says. It's the swamp. I mean, there is so much corruption in Washington, D.C. And look, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I see it in the military. I mean, you can see it. It's at the Pentagon, too. I mean, they are supposed to be apolitical. That's nonsense. I mean, we've seen that over and over and over.
I got to pause you.
Yep.
You don't have to say it. There was a little bitty short guy named Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Bingo.
Little pencil neck.
Bingo.
Comes walking in here and says, I am the bureaucracy.
Yep.
I am in charge, and you're going to listen to me because I'm the boss. And Trump's going to listen to me.
And you know, I'm a military officer. I'm not a lieutenant colonel, but I'm still a ranking officer. And just, you could just imagine how we feel, how other officers look at that. It's not you, go boy. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to pull this up, and I want everybody to see this. I'm just going to play just maybe 2 minutes max. And the reason is I'm talking about this is because we got people that, you know, we're calling for accountability. Okay. While the big tech guys are running out, silencing any voice that is in opposition to them. And by the way, I would encourage you guys to maybe look at Parler and look at Rumble and start working on deplatforming Facebook and
they may be doing it themselves.
It looks like they're doing it themselves, but Ted Cruz and the guys, they have been all over the place. Dana Lesh has been talking about them. They have been all over the place saying, look, we've had enough because this
I believe was the atomic bomb. Yeah. They have literally shot them. They have felt immune for so long. Mm-hmm. They have shot themselves in the foot with this. This is going to be a major issue. And guys like Cruz and Josh Hawley are not going to let it go by the wayside.
No. Now, listen to this. This is in response to the question that was just asked, but I want to you know, kind of touch off of this. Dinesh D'Souza posted this on Rumble. So here, look, listen.
In the last 2 days, we've seen a remarkable development. We have seen big tech. We've seen Twitter and Facebook actively interfering in this election in a way that has no precedent in the history of our country. Yesterday, the New York Post broke a story alleging serious corruption of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden concerning Ukraine. The allegations in the New York Post story, if true, indicate that Vice President Biden lied when he said he had never discussed his son's business dealings. That story, once the New York Post broke it, was blocked by Twitter and Facebook. Anyone who attempted to share it was prevented from sharing it on Twitter or Facebook. The New York Post itself, when it attempted to put out its story, was blocked on Twitter and Facebook. The New York Post has the fourth largest circulation of any newspaper in this country. Never before have we seen active censorship of a major press publication with serious allegations of corruption of one of the two candidates for president. That was last night. This morning, the story escalated and got even worse. The New York Post broke a second story of a series of emails that indicate yet more corruption. In this instance, the Biden family receiving millions of dollars from communist China government officials. Just minutes ago, I tried to share that story on Twitter. And Twitter is actively blocking right now, this instant, stories from the New York Post alleging corruption and the Biden family receiving millions of dollars from communist China. This is election interference, and we are 19 days out from an election. It has no precedent in the history of democracy. The Senate Judiciary Committee wants to know what the hell is going on. Chairman Lindsey Graham and I have discussed this at length, and the committee today will be noticing a markup on Tuesday to issue a subpoena to Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee next Friday, to come before this committee and the American people and explain why Twitter is abusing their corporate power to silence the press and to cover up allegations of corruption. And let me be clear, I don't know if these New York Post stories are true or not. Those are questions.
So, the reason I wanted to share that is, I mean, it's obvious that's a huge story. You know, that is a huge story, but it's a
massive story.
Yeah. It's the government's responsibility to protect, you know, as Romans 13, the government is to protect. That I've actually just found out that they are, going ahead and doing that with Dorsey and with Zuckerberg. Yeah,
they added Facebook to the subpoena as well. Yes. So now Dorsey and Zuckerberg are going to get their spin clowns together to try to protect them within the next week. They're not going to do it. I'm just going to throw it out there. They don't show up. They're going to try to postpone this until after the election and hope that they have a Joe Biden as a president and then it goes away.
Yeah.
Well, I say that it won't go away. Their attempt to hope to take over the Senate as well. And if they do that, then it's pointless.
Yeah. Well, and I want you to think about this. Dana Lash asked one of the congressmen, why would Facebook and Twitter and all these guys be doing this? And Dan Bongino, he actually, if you don't watch the show, you guys need to watch. He does a really good job, I think. He actually talked about why they would want to be doing this. If they can get rid of that 203 that that they're under, that makes them makes them accountable, or actually it makes them not accountable.
But it makes them not accountable, exactly. Yeah,
if they can get rid of that, he said that what they can do is then they can turn around and absolutely flatten out and destroy Parler, Rumble, anybody else that's trying. Because, I mean, you think about it. Facebook, Google, you have YouTube and Twitter. They are basically the four the four big names that, that we get our information from, our media from, our news from, and everything else. I mean, that's, they have the big, big names. They can drag this stuff out in court for years because they have the money.
You got the money. Hey, well, Google, YouTube is Google.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah. They are. And so they have the platform that they can do this forever. If they come off of the protection that they're at and they go and become a declared publisher, good thing is then they can be held accountable. Bad thing is they got enough money that they don't care.
That's right.
You know, that's so right. Either way this goes, this is not going to go good for most anybody, I don't think.
Well, they are openly suppressing Rumble and Parler now. Yeah. They're doing that now. It's competition. Yeah. It's competition for them. The problem with this is that this, again, back to the story, this story is equivalent to what is a media state, a China media state or Iranian media state. They are thus saying, we will allow what we want to go to the people. And again, technically, legally, they can do it because of how the law is written now. Ted Cruz knows that. Lindsey Graham knows that. Josh Hawley knows that. Part of the subpoena that they will be removing that section that will then say, and my guess is when they get them there, just by the simple fact that they've done this with these stories at, in back-to-back days, and Ted Cruz having that little video and individually saying, personally saying, look, I tried to do this and I wasn't able to do it. As long as they've got that the number of the Senate seats that they need, which they do, as the same with a Supreme Court justice nomination, this will go away. And good for us, because we don't need a Chinese media state. We don't need an Iranian media state. And if it doesn't happen, and by some miracle, we have a Biden presidency, we are in deep trouble when it comes to sharing actual facts and real news.
Well, and you got to think about it. Why? I hate to say this, but why would America deserve to be blessed in the wake of, you know, the absolute wickedness that we've seen that people are openly supporting and
we counting? Don't. As a whole, we don't.
Yeah.
As a whole, we don't. Well, there's a remnant here. You and I know it. As believers in Christ, we're a remnant. We're always going to be a remnant. Again, for my theonomous friends out there, we're always going to be a remnant. There's not going to be, we're not taking over anything. We're going to continue to, we're going to continue to be suppressed. And no, we don't like it. Yep. You know, that's kind of the argument. Well, you like being, no, no, we'll fight when we need to fight. You know, we'll fight when it, you know, when it's, when we need to, but that's the fact of the matter. And I think, like you said earlier, that is the sign of the times. It just continues and continues to be that snowball rolling downhill.
Well, and you think about it, as Christians, don't we expect that we're going to be silenced? I mean, we're promised persecution. I mean, unless you're part of the NAR, I mean, and I know theonomy and NAR are best, you know, twins, they're good buddies. And I understand that, but the NAR is, you know, the Seven Mountain Mandate. We're going to take over. We're going to, you know, you're promised your health, wealth, prosperity, and all the good stuff that could ever happen to you.
Didn't they get rid of racism like 8 months ago?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Didn't they just get rid of racism like 8 months ago? They just wished it away. They prayed it away.
They got rid of COVID too. What are you talking about? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Well, Copeland, John, Ian Copeland.
Yeah, he shouted it down, you know, and then he said, money cometh to me. But you think about it.
What a clown. What a clown.
Oh, yeah. But think about it. For the biblical Christians out there, do you expect to have nothing bad come to you when all the goods come to you from God? I mean, Ecclesiastes, you know, why do we expect all the, you know, all the blessings that heaven can contain here when we're not in heaven yet? You know,
the reason is that professing Christians believe that is because they're told that, you know, they listen to Joel Osteen. They listen to the NAR. They listen to Bill Johnson. They listen to T.D. Jakes. They listen to Joyce Meyer. They listen to these clowns. I mean, they are absolute clowns, and people, they love it because they're fed the poison. You know, it's, you know, it's like, what is it from The Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe, the Turkish Delight or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're fed that, and man, they need more of it. They don't care that there's any truth behind it or not, if there's any truth behind it or not.
No, I totally agree with that. Yeah, that's the Turkish Delight. That's a great analogy. You know, and you think about it, you know, in some ways, I kind of wonder if Trump isn't the placebo that, and I'm not saying that he is personally, but just as far as the judgment goes, that people don't realize they're blinded to the errors that are going on within the conservative camp, you know, because, I mean, you have just as many people that are the, you know, what we call them, the rhinos, Republican in name only.
In name only.
Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, Andrew calls them chinos, the Christians in name only.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we have just as many people that say they're conservatives that are anti-Trump, that are never Trumpers. Not only that, but they're anti-American. They're ready for to see it fall. They want to see it destroyed. You know, they're ready for the censorship and all this stuff. And they claim to be Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. And I agree with KT and Jesus there. We're still going to be judged. It doesn't matter. Amen. It doesn't matter who wins. Now, let's be fair. Donald Trump has certainly protected Christians, even though he is not a morally upstanding Christian. I get that. I understand. Yeah. I'm not one of these people who worship Donald Trump. I'm not.
Yeah.
But we are certainly safer under him than we will be under Joe Biden, than we were under President Obama. There's no doubt about that. But think about this as well. And you guys, if you disagree with me, that's fine. But you mentioned the never Trumpers. Remember back in 2016, there was the dump Trump Christian clan. I heard it over and over. How could you vote for him? You know, look, I'm not voting for a pastor. That is not what I'm after. Again, it's kind of like these non-theonomists acting like theonomists, wanting us to have this king pastor. Good luck with that. You know, I was good. Let me take you back to 2012. I guarantee you, I would bet money on it if I were a betting man that you cast a ballot for Mitt Romney, who is a Mormon.
Yeah.
Stop with the nonsense. I mean, they do this all the time, and it's just you dump Trump, blah, 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 get rid of everybody. Jesus wins. I know that. I get that. Jesus wins. We still have a responsibility. Yeah. You know, we shouldn't act like Donald Trump is a king, and we shouldn't worship him like one at all. But listen, when it comes to Christian persecution, you are way better off with taking that road than taking the road of Joe Biden. That's undeniable. And for anybody to make an argument otherwise, it's just nonsense. They have no ground really to stand on by trying to make that argument.
I agree with you. You know, and you think about that when you're talking about the theonomy issue. Guys, I mean, most people don't realize it, but that was already tried. It was called the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They tried that and they failed.
There's a reason we're Protestants, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, on that subject, on Trump, I want to ask a couple of questions. And so here's questions. As a Christian, how do we evaluate candidates that we're going to vote for? You know, as a Christian, what are some of the standards that you're going to say? Anybody can chime in here. What are standards that you guys would say that you look at when you're evaluating, am I going to vote for this person?
Yeah, so I look at it. So here's how I look at it. It becomes issues. You're going to have primary issues and secondary issues. That's how I look at it. In 2016, and this is a perfect example. 2016, my main issue, the primary issue for me, was the Supreme Court. It wasn't just me. It was a lot of folks out there. That being said, look where we are today. Number three will be nominated this week. That is unheard of. So I'm glad that was my first choice. So I think about the Supreme Court. That was because it was something to be thought about, because when you look at it, we were going to have the issues. Now, Antonin Scalia, that was an unknown. That was an unseen. But again, we still have we're getting ready to have three. That's number one. Number two, usually it's protection. Which which candidate is going to protect me? Again, Romans 13, that's their first and foremost duty. So which one is going to protect me most? So you look at the two out there. You've got one guy who promotes looting, rioting, you know, craziness in the streets, and you got another guy who's law and order. You got one guy who has just about every backing of every police union in the country. You've got another guy who has zero, literally zero. Not one single police union has backed Joe Biden. That should scare the living daylights out of people that want to cast a vote for him. As if their safety doesn't matter. Number three, all the big issues that are going to come about, abortion. And having that type of freedom. Now with the bombshell that just came out with Twitter and Facebook, now it's going to be, what can you say? And are you going to get news that you really want to have? That's going to be a big one. That's moving forward. That's going to be an issue. And so that's another one. So you can just lay those out there in sequential order. And those are the big ones that I have. When you lay them out like that, it's kind of an easy choice for me.
So what you're saying is you don't want communism, you don't want socialism, you don't want Nazism, you don't want Pravda, you don't want the media.
Yeah. I don't want Chaz.
You don't want Chaz. You don't want a media that is run and controlled and teaches us basically 1984 all over again.
All over again, you know, and everybody says it, but that's true. I mean, that's exactly what they did. I don't want a summer of love, you know. No. That's nonsense, you know. It at some point you're like, you know, you want to look at people and say, I'm not stupid. You know, I get it. I understand that that's what you're trying to appeal to. You're trying to just make people believe whatever. But again, as Christians, as you opened the show with, we are supposed to be able to be ready to give an answer. We have to be able to give a response. You know, we have to know what we believe. How can we be Christians and be illiterate Christians? It doesn't make any sense, because you can't be an illiterate Christian, meaning you don't understand Christian doctrine. You don't understand what you believe, because if you don't understand what you believe, then you don't know what you believe. And if you don't know what you believe, then you can't tell somebody else what you believe. And if you can't tell somebody else what you believe, you can't tell them the gospel, which is the whole point of the whole of Christianity in the first place. It's a snowball that you have to be able to build and roll. And if you can't do that, then you need to step back a little bit and let's get some learning. There are some things that you just got to know. There's some things that you got to know, you know. Yeah. And people, a lot of folks say, well, you don't need, you're going to study too much. You're going to read too much. My goodness, look at the Bible. I mean, yes, that's all you need, but yeah, it's not a small book. There's a lot in there. It's jam packed. And we are to read it.
Got a lot of studying to do, you know, and you're thinking about, you think about, you know, God and government and the Christian obligation here. As Romans 13 tells me to be in subjection and submission to the governing authorities, part of that is to be praying for them, to be praying for their, you know, for their safety, for the right way that they should govern. But there's nothing in the scripture that would forbid me. And as a pastor, I think it would be a lowering of the standard for a pastor to get into public office, because he should have a greater influence by God and a greater purpose by God as a pastor. If you're called into office as a Christian, I think it's a great thing. You know,
Mike Pence is a great, he's a great example.
Exactly. And you think about it, his role is to, as vice president, you know, right next to the president, he's basically, you know, right there next to, he's president part two. I mean, it really, want to think about it. That's the VP is a president. They're just, you know, the vice president stepping in. They make as many decisions and everything else, and they're just as responsible for leading the country. And in the case that a sitting president has to, you know, abdicate just for a little bit, what happens? They're the president. So you have to be able to trust them as well. But when it comes to Romans 13, and I'm looking at this and it's telling me to be in subjection to the government, And to do it in fear of God, to honor them, it tells me that not to oppose them as they are working out the obligations that they have to work for, you know, my best good, mm-hmm. for, you know, to wield the sword. If you notice the language in Romans 13, it tells us that it's not just talking about war. It's talking about doing what's right and what's good and what's mm-hmm. fair and noble. And we should want leadership in there that's doing the right thing and upholding the standards so that you and I can then go out and practice our faith according to God and to the edicts of the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, if you look at the Constitution, I mean, anybody that's read the Constitution, if you've read over it and didn't understand that when it talks about the Creator, the one that's made the universe and made everything else, it's mm-hmm. not talking about Mohammedism.
That's right.
The Constitution was written by deist and theist. Mm-hmm. Both understood that they were talking about the God of the universe, the God of Scripture, that they were escaping a theocratic system, a worldly mm-hmm. system. They were escaping a Roman Catholic system. They were escaping all of that. And they were wanting to come to worship God according to the edicts of the Word of God. And that's what they were setting up, a government that would allow them the unquestioned freedom to worship God as their conscience dictated. Mm-hmm. You know what got me about what you were saying a minute ago about the president that would, you know, that you would vote for or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What got me about it was, if you look at the Supreme Court, it's made up of almost all Roman Catholics.
Yeah.
And I actually pointed this out the other day, and I posted on there. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, it'd be really nice if there was one Baptist in the whole group just to throw in a little wrench and a thing. But it's like, you know, in our government, the Catholics are told to go out there and go do the work of the Roman Catholicism.
Well, there's more of them too. Look at the ratio. I mean, there's still more of them too. But think about this too. We know, you know, when it comes to theology,
yeah.
you know, we're going to have issues with the Catholics.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to morality, you know, I'll stand with the Catholics when it comes to their stance on abortion. I'll stand with the Catholic
at least
when
half
it comes
of them.
To their, well, you know what I mean? From the official church, you know, the official, I get yeah. it. I understand. but you know, we'll stand with them on the Trinity, on, you know, those types of doctrines and issues like that.
So Angie, you asked, do you think that, Mike Pence is a born again Christian? And you said, I haven't looked into his doctrine deep enough. As far as I know, he is a Southern Baptist, which is cool. And that he is a deeply devoted Christian. He actually talks about his faith a lot.
There is nothing that I have seen or read about Mike Pence that would cause me caution there. Yeah. So I have to, you know, until otherwise, you know, yeah. I would say yes. Now, could I, you know, could there be something wrong? Sure. But you know, we're not always going to line up with everything theology wise either. You folks stop doing that. Stop trying to call people not your brothers if they don't line up in every single doctrinal area that you have. You know, major on the majors, you know, yeah. and be easy on the minors when it comes to that. So, but I'm with you, Justin. I think he exhibits Christianity. Orthodox Christianity as we know it.
You just look at the debate that he was with against Kamala.
Sure, absolutely, yep.
And
yep.
he took the high road every single time.
Every time, every yeah. time. Every
time, and he never lost, you know, his focus, and he never blew up in front of her, and he right. was a perfect gentleman. I mean, he really yep. was.
Now, that being said, you know, Mitt Romney is a great debater in debates like that as well.
Yeah.
But you know, he's clearly lost. You know, he is not oh, a born again believer.
You don't think that Mormons are Christians?
No. Easy answer. No.
Okay. All right. So I assume that you're fine saying that Jehovah's Witnesses aren't either, huh? So
you're I am fine with saying that. Yes.
You're very judgmental.
when you deny the deity of Christ, yes, that's one of the majors that I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, well, I'm glad you put that out there. Hey, I wanted to share a couple of
Dump Trump. They see, there they are. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Dump Trump. When you said that, I reminded me of this. South Carolina elections chairman resigns after he and his wife were accused of removing and defacing Trump signs. There's a lot more on there, you know, from that. But, you know, what got me about that was, you know, when you said the dump Trump thing, I was thinking, I know I've seen that.
There's a lot of slogan in 2016. There were some good reformed brothers back in 2016 that was their slogan. And, you know, I was just like, what are you guys doing? You know, what are you doing? And I wonder if they still say that, you know, they probably do.
A few friends of mine over, you know, when I'll be honest with you, when Trump came in, I was very worried.
Nobody knew what he was going to do. Nobody knew what he was going to do. There was just no way to know.
My biggest issue is, and it amazes me with Pence that, and I noticed that he's not around those, Paula Whites and all those others that are up there. I don't think I've seen him around there, but the fact that Trump has Paula White, who is the priestess of all things heretical, the fact that he has her on, you know, his platform, and he's allowing her to pray and be around that, that scares me, because it's like it's giving her a boost in her heresy, you know.
I have no problem with praying, but when you listen to her pray, I have a problem with that, because of even the way what she says in the prayer. It disqualifies her.
Pastrix.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that I wanted to point out on the Hunter Biden story is the amount of people that have been blocked and censored and cut off. I mean, what is it, Kayleigh McEnany?
It's millions. Going to be up there, and that is that's why this is a big story. Most, you know, we're not going to really see the whole repercussions of it, but there is it's a major reach, and Twitter and Facebook know this. I mean, they know this. And again, they've been so immune to not having any repercussions. They didn't think about it. But trust me, they didn't have a clue, because they haven't been called on it. Yeah. And they thought, well, we can just do it again. And thank God for Ted Cruz. And thank God for Josh Hawley. That, you know, those are men who have been elected to do things that we are, you know, that we want them to do. And it's important for them to be able to do what they're going to do with you know, what's going to happen next week. Who knows? But thank goodness they're at least doing something.
So there's a news agency. Let me see if I can pull them up here. I'm trying to get them up here. So everybody can see it. I just posted the screenshot. That's what I'm trying to get to. Here it is. All right. Yeah, I believe you can see it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Twexit. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're just one of the, I don't know them personally, not endorsing them. I think it's from source from the Blaze. Phil Shiver posted this.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the fact that, you know, what we've been talking about, Twitter has been locking out access. White House press secretary was deplatformed.
Yes.
Was closed up. But here's what blew me away. I highlighted it. In response to censorship, the Republican House Judiciary Committee. Now, you notice that Ted Cruz was speaking on behalf of the Senate House Judiciary Committee.
Correct.
Okay, so the Republican House Judiciary Committee decided to publish the entire story on their website, and somebody, and I don't know who, said I would dare them to block them. They went out and went ahead and took the challenge and decided to block the House and the Senate from being able to post this stuff. And I don't know how much fortitude, intestinal fortitude you got to have, you know, to step up against the government. But I think these guys really believe that they can do anything they want to.
Well, they've been able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been able to. And, you know, it's going to be that one time, you know, where they get the, you know, the the Marty left hand to Biff Tannen, and down he goes, you know, and then things change.
You know, but I wonder if they're just thinking to themselves, if they can block for Joe Biden long enough that, you know, if he gets into office, which is their hope, if he gets into office, I mean, I think you guys have probably seen the numerous amounts of information talking about the absentee ballots that have magically ended up in trash cans and shredded in trucks and trailers. And
that's not new, by the way. That happens with every election.
Yeah,
but it's happened a lot now. I just heard a report today that in our area, something like 38,000 extra people have voted so far in this first, you know, few days than normally does.
Right. You know?
And that's significant. I mean, look, I think everybody should vote, you know.
Well, sure, but here's something I think people don't understand about absentee ballots. You know, and of course we're talking about just random mailing people, everybody on the roll calls these ballots as well. That being said, what people don't understand about absentee ballots, those ballots do not even get counted. You know, most of the military, and I know this from being a military member, most of the military members' ballots never get counted. And most absentee ballots won't either. And the reason being is because of the Electoral College. So if you live in Tennessee, for instance, you are a red state. You are blood red, right? So there's not going to be any reason in the end for those votes from the absentee votes in Tennessee to be counted. Why? Because it's going to be red anyway. So people don't understand that their votes don't even get counted. And I get it. There's no need to. So there's a big difference when you vote in person, which it's going to get counted because it's going to get counted electronically. It's going to automatically go on the ticker. The only time that those absentee ballots would be needed is if you need a recount and there is a less than a, I think it's a 2% or 1.5% or whatever it's going to be. So it behooves you to vote in person versus vote in absentee.
Yeah. So what do you think about the, what's her name? Nancy Pelosi trying to pull out the Article 25.
So the 25th Amendment, this is not for Donald Trump.
I know.
So, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So they're playing this on their own man. Again, they're believing the polls, right? They, just like they did in 16, they believe their man is going to be in, and he's a puppet. He is a marionette, and it's going to be, let's transition. Yep. We're going to transition Harris in immediately. And once we do, because look, what a perfect person for them to pick. She'll do anything they say. She'll flip-flop on any issue whatsoever. She's done it her whole entire career. She doesn't stand on anything. She's easily manipulated, and that's what this 25th Amendment's going to be. It's going to be, okay, you've won. Now you get out of the way. Let's slide her in. The problem's going to be is I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, I just got this popped up from Rumble. Dinesh D'Souza has been cutting clips and pulling clips together. And this is from because we're not having a debate tonight.
Correct. Right.
Right.
Biden and Trump are doing town halls in separate places.
So before I pull this up, what do you guys think about the debate? Should Trump have said, yeah, let's go ahead and have it with the almost 100% certainty that there was going to be a whole entire host of people that he would be debating rather than just one person or two? What do you think?
You know, initially I thought it was a bad move, but with this whole Hunter Biden issue that's come out and the big tech thing, it's completely put it away. So it's been a win for Donald Trump. And for whatever reason, he seems to get those types of wins. You know, it's like he's that energizer bunny that just keeps on going.
They always keep saying that he plays 4D chess. I mean,
he's always
one step ahead. And sometimes you just don't know if he's doing something because he knows what's going to happen.
you know, three steps down the road. I mean, he just seems to know that kind of stuff. I mean, but he knows how to play the media. I mean, he's an entertainer. He's not a politician.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that, and he'll be the first to tell you that.
Yeah, yeah, he knows how the media works.
Yeah, and so you know what I think though is that you also have the issue that you know he realizes. I honestly think that he realizes that Trump realizes that he's not going to be here either in a few weeks or in 4 years, and no matter what he does, if he doesn't shore up some semblance of a strong constitutional conservative group base, this country's destroyed, and so is his company, his business, his livelihood, his family. All his generations are going to be destroyed. I mean, you think about it. We live in a country where oligarchs are, you know, in bed with our, you know, our pundits and our, and I don't mean literally, but maybe they are, but that's not what I meant. You know, as far as, you know, in that figurative sense, they are there with our political pundits, and they're there with our political friends who are supposed to be taking care of us. All of our congressmen, all of our senators, all of our, you know, has somebody in their ear that is saying, hey, look, if you'll just tweak things my way this way, whatnot, I'll make it easier for you. Life can be better for you. Mm-hmm. You know, your son sure would be good at this job, you know. All these things that are just going on constantly. Trump's not getting that. He gets that literally every, and I don't know why, but literally all the businesses that are big businesses want him gone. They're profiteering off of him because he's doing such a great job for the stock markets. But the businesses want him gone. They want him out. They want him, you know, they would rather have Joe Biden.
The reason for that, and so the argument, and you're right, it doesn't make sense. You know, the optics of that doesn't make sense. But here's the thing: the biggest corporations are the biggest lobbyists.
I agree.
So they still dictate what goes on, and people don't realize that. I don't think so. That it's the lobbyists who control Washington, and those are the biggest corporations. They really don't care about his politics. That they don't care. They could care less. They as long as they can control whoever it is, and that's their issue with Trump is that they can't. He can't be bought. He's not. And so somebody who can't be bought is no good for the lobbyist. And he's an unusual character in that manner.
Yeah, but what do you think it's going to be like? Angie H. She says, even after the election, we've got 4 more years. You know, if we have 4 more years, I'm dreading the choice for 2024. I have said this. I don't care if he's out in 4 weeks or 4 years. Whoever's next is the guy the socialists want. I mean, that the pendulum always swings back and forth. The next one is going to be, it's not going to be a conservative. It's not going to be a constitutionalist. It may not be a he. It might be transgender. We don't know. But so it's going to be whoever it is going to be the absolute polar opposite. And what we're seeing today is the person that they want is Antichrist. I mean,
well, it is. But here's let me give you some hope. Okay. So
I know where I'm going, so I'm okay with that.
That's exactly right. So statistically, here's the issue. So what you're going to see in these cycles? So you see many new voting liberals come out of college, right? They've been taught, you know, they've been taught academia. But a very large majority of them change their political stances when they start in the working force. Then they when things start to really, you know, they really get real for them, they understand that what they were told and what they were fed, that Turkish delight that they were fed in college is not really Turkish delight. So many of them do leave those ranks. So it kind of evens out a lot. And that's just academia. And so non-academia, you have many, many more conservatives who are brought into vocational professions. And they're going to be conservative just based on what they do and how they work. So statistically, I get what you're saying, but it may not be as bad as you think it's going to be.
My only concern is, is that
Jesus wins, right?
Jesus wins, brother. He's on it. He's got it. But my only concern is, and look, like I say, when I'm talking about concern, I don't have a fear. Okay.
Right.
I don't have a phobia against anybody, because there is nobody's going to take me for, out of my Father's hands. I'm going to heaven. By the way, he's building his kingdom. He's going to bring it with him. He's going to establish it, and none of us are going to stop him.
Yeah.
I'm
going to have fun talking the politics, no matter who's in office.
Amen.
And I'm going to serve. I'm going to put on the uniform as long as they let me put on the uniform, and I'm still going to, I'm still going to serve as long as I'm not told, to do something against my, against my beliefs. Oh, by the way, most people don't know this. When we swear in our allegiance in the military, we swear to the Constitution. We do not swear to the President of the United States, which is something very unusual for most militaries. Most militaries, countries, they will swear allegiance to their leader, and we swear to the Constitution. So if we have, if we believe that, our leader is being unconstitutional, we can use that and take the legal course, from a military perspective. So just a little FYI for people that didn't know that.
That's right. That's right. And that's because everybody's accountable. And,
that's right.
That's one thing that I admire about the legal system within the military.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It really is.
Dwindle out of it. There are people that get out of it, but it's so few. When you compare it to what we got in the American judicial system, it is completely different.
It's much less politicized.
Yeah,
it's very more contextual, which is good.
Yeah, I want to show everybody this because this just came up. Dinesh, he don't listen to me anyway, but thank you so much for putting this out here. I want to make sure everybody can hear it. But lady asked this question, and here's the answer.
We can. Dude, the ban chokeholds, beyond that, you have to teach people how to de-escalate circumstances. De-escalate. So instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot them in the leg. There's ways you have to do more background checks in terms of whether or not the person coming in passes certain psychological tests. And the last thing I'll say, and I'm sorry, but it's really, I think, really, really important, is you have to be in a position where you are able to identify the things that have to change. And one of the things that has to change is so many cops get called into circumstances where somebody is mentally off, like what happened not long ago with that guy with the knife. That's why we have to provide
within
police departments, psychologists and social workers to go out with the cops on those calls, some of those 911 calls. To de-escalate the circumstance.
There you go.
To deal with talking them down.
Man, that'll solve it all.
Cops are kind of like school teachers.
That is moronic. That is taking a water pistol and trying to put out a bonfire or something like that. I mean, he doesn't understand what he's saying. He's repeating talking points that he's been told, but it's just, that's nonsense. Shoot him in the leg. It's nonsense.
We were taught, Humble Clay puts on, because officers don't know anything about de-escalation.
That's what they're taught.
They're taught.
They're trained that over and over.
Look, I mean, I think the thing that bothers me the most about this situation is you have politicians that have never had to deal with an escalated circumstance where they don't have 40 people around them that are armed to the teeth and they're capable and able of slamming somebody on the ground, putting major pain on somebody and stopping them very quickly, very effectively. They've never dealt with a situation where they've actually been under fire or been under threat. And they're being the armchair quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they're talking to people about, how we've got to do things politically, because they have no clue how to do things in reality. They don't have a clue. And that's what drives me nuts about when I hear these guys talking like this. Did you hear what he said, though, the answer? Shoot him in the leg.
Yeah, shoot him in the leg so they don't die.
Yeah, okay. We were trained to shoot to stop, not to kill, but to stop.
Yep.
And you start with the chest, because that is the biggest mass of the body. You shoot to stop them, and when they get to a point where they can grab your gun, you're going to have to take them on, physically and stop them, with your hands. Because, I have seen many cases where we've had people that have adrenaline or something that they can run right through whatever they're being shot with, and they run right up and they don't stop. You know, when he talked about that guy with a knife, that guy with a knife was the one that they shot him in the back. He had a knife. He has a knife. By the way, pundits and everybody else in the media, he was unarmed and he was just, the innocent guy. No, he was trying to abuse a woman. I think it was sexual abuse, abuse a woman. And they were trying to stop him. And he fought these two or three officers. He fought them like crazy. And he was trying to put some serious hurt on them.
Well, and it's things like that, former police officer. I mean, you've been trained in that. And then here I see this marionette clown who's telling the American people about this. This is very similar, by the way, in medicine. This is like us listening to Dr. Fauci, right? So this is a guy who not his first. It drives me insane. Here I am hazmatting up every day, taking care of a COVID patient. And then I have Dr. Fauci, who hasn't treated the first patient, telling me how to do it. It's nonsense. People don't understand that. They think that he's the high end. No, I want to listen to somebody who's been there, done that, has got the t-shirt.
Yeah. And you think about it. Romans 13, back to Romans 13 again. The authority doesn't wield the sword in vain. The point is for us as believers, we should know better than to be assaultive, combative, and argumentative, disrespectful, and whatnot towards police officers. Because there are consequences to bad behavior. Mama used to teach this. She don't teach it anymore. There are consequences to bad behavior. Now, when you get to a certain level of bad behavior, because mom didn't teach you, the police officer is going to have to. Well, now, mom, that doesn't want to teach the kids, is now standing in front of the police officer saying, "Don't you dare discipline my kids." And it's, Karen, her name's Karen now. And she's all over the place. And now we have kids that are 20, 30 years old, and they don't respect any authority. We're told that they don't wield the sword in vain, they're supposed to do their jobs. Now, yes, there are police officers that have went, out of bounds, but I watched a video just today that somebody had posted about a gentleman who's, on his phone. He's sitting there holding it up saying, "These police officers are being so mean to me and I'm not doing anything wrong." And for like 15 minutes, he's complaining about what they're doing. They're sitting right beside him. The door's open. They're talking to him. One police officer has had enough of this, positioning, and he says, "You're going to come out of the car or I'm going to drag you out." Now,
it's virtue signaling. It's set up. That's all that is.
Yeah. And I saw that and I'm thinking to myself, 90% of the people in America who have no clue about, the Romans 13, who have no clue about the authority that we should be respecting, are going to look at that and saying, "That police officer shouldn't have done that." No, when you're told to get out of the car, you're under arrest, you say, "Yes, sir." You stand up, you fight it in court. Yep. You've already lost. You're not going to win this case. Even if you win by social media, you're not going to win this case when this comes to this offering.
And the chances are, again, that was a setup.
Yep.
Hey, and let me play. It's not really devil's advocate, but let me just give you another instance. Yeah. This whole bit out in Moscow, Idaho, that got all of the coverage for the singing out in the public square, what have you.
Wilson,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Wilson, so let's look. That was a setup. I mean, Christians should not. We should not be doing that. Yeah. We should not be provoking our government officials to do things like that. And then trying to turn it on its head and make it look like it was the other way around, because that's what happened there. That was a provoking of that local government. And we shouldn't be doing that. That is wrong. And that is unethical. And that is against every standard that we're taught in the Christian realm.
I totally agree. And you think about it. I mean, I've had so many people say, this is If you say anything against this, it's Doug Wilson derangement syndrome, and you're just mad because it's Doug Wilson. Look,
I don't care if it was Flip Wilson.
Who it was. I don't care who it was. Yeah. When you're telling Christians to go against, you know, this mandate that actually has nothing to do with you, you could actually, you know, be at your church and be worshiping the Lord, but you want to stand out in public with your mask off and challenge. I mean, I heard the whole thing. Police officers walking through, talking to the people. The people that were together are sitting there together. The police officer says, are you like family units and you're okay with that? And they had already set all of that up, said just as long as you're social distance and all this.
Yep.
No problem. A man turns around. He says, yeah, this is my wife, sister, cousin, whatever. And then another guy grabs a hold of him and says, yeah, but he's not mine, challenging the officer. I'm sorry. You just earned yourself a free ticket to jail, and I don't have any sympathy for you.
And there was no reason to do it. And look, I get it. I understand the nonsense behind the mask. It's complete nonsense. There's no scientific data behind it. I'll be the first to tell you. I practice medicine. I will tell you that. I get all of that. But again, the setup, the whole situation, just not a fan, not a fan whatsoever.
I totally agree. Well, let me ask if I can. I have a segue into that. How do we refuse to submit? How do we stand up and say this is, it's time for us to say no? You know, when do we do that? From a biblical perspective. Now, I have a few of my own that I've thought of from the scripture. What have you got? What do you think on this?
Well, I mean, there's so many instances. I mean, let's be fair. There's not many instances today in America where we're forced to do those types of things. It's not happening yet.
Unless you live in California.
Well, right. Again, there is some of that that's going on out there. And that really, again, a biblical perspective on things about Romans 13. Yep. But yeah, there are things when things. Okay, let's use California. So in an instance like California, where they have complete and total lockdowns for everything, and when they're doing it for weeks, when it starts to affect the minds, when it starts to affect the health of others, I mean, that's when you start to say, look, you're not doing good for me. You're not doing good for me. You're not doing good for the community. We need to get some people together and we need to have some discussions about what to do from here. I don't know what you had, types of scenarios you had brought up, but let's hear what you had to say. Are they hypotheticals?
From the scripture, actually, I wanted to look at it, you know, on the submission rebelling thing. But let's, you know, talking about California, you know, you have, you know, Grace Community Church out there, and you have a couple of churches that have been saying, no, we're not going to, you know, comply because of,
well, they have constitutional rights.
They have constitutional rights. Exactly. As far as I can tell on that, no, I don't disagree with John MacArthur. I would not disagree with John MacArthur unless I had a very good reason to, and this, in my case, I agree with him completely.
John MacArthur, they complied too long.
Yeah. And I agree, because here's the way I saw it. Once the science started coming out that showed that this was not the pandemic that everybody was calling, once it started coming out and saying, how do I say this? Once the science started coming out and saying, this is not the pandemic that everybody claimed it was. Now when it came from China, you know, when it came out from China, you know, the Chinese COVID virus, the Wing Chun flu, or the, what do you call it?
Wuhan.
I said Wing Chun flu. I'm sorry. the Wuhan flu, when it came out, I believe it was very potent and very deadly. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there when it was produced, but there's a lot of information that says it was helped along by some scientists at the lab. at the expense of the CIA and some others. And I don't know all the details on that, but I do want to say that whatever it was, we know it started out really bad and it hit Italy like a tidal wave. When it started coming over here, I think it starts dissipating, and we're seeing now that it is as deadly as the cold and the flu, that it is, maybe even not as deadly as that. So it's not a pandemic. Now, it may be a pandemic of emotion, but it's not an actual pandemic. And so when they found out,
yeah, we lost the definition of pandemic long ago when it comes to numbers. Nobody wants to say that either.
I agree. I totally agree. But think about it. When that idea goes away, John MacArthur makes a clear case on this. He says, when that's gone, we clearly see it's not a pandemic. We need to stop acting like that. We need to be in fellowship because this is the spiritual house. You know, the White House, the government, everything else, they do their job. Our job is the spiritual job. And the reason that you're seeing all the insanity going on is because the house of, you know, of spiritual and morality and biblical teaching is gone. And we need, there's a necessity for the body of Christ to be in worship and in the world. And then, of course, Gavin Newsom, he comes along and says, what? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Gavin Newsom tries to play king. Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan tries to play queen. When you get into those types of situations, that's when because from a biblical perspective, we have the Constitution. The Constitution is what governs our country, right?
Exactly.
It's not the rulers are supposed to go by that Constitution. When they clearly, openly deny that, then that's when we say, hey, look, we have every constitutional right to gather together. We can worship as we wish. We can take these chances as we wish.
And you know, the thing about it, as far as from the Christian perspective, you know, all through history, we see, you know, Exodus 1:17, that entire section. What was the Pharaoh doing? What was he trying to do? He's trying to get the midwives to kill the Israelite babies.
Yep. Yep.
You know, there's two things going on. They feared God and they refused to do what the king said,
mm-hmm.
except they didn't want to deal with the consequences. So they lied.
Right. Yep. Okay. They covered it up. Yep.
Yeah. They lied. I've actually had people say to me, well, wait a minute. If it's always wrong, well, that was wrong. You know, I'm a nonconformist when it comes to that. I believe absolutely when the scripture says it's a sin that you don't do this, you don't do it. And lying is a sin. And in that situation, they weren't more moral or right for mm-hmm. lying to the king. They didn't need to. They take the consequences. As far as I can tell, all throughout the scripture, the godly people that would stand up were willing to stand up for God, for his glory, do the right thing and take whatever happened out of it. The consequences, you know, it is what it is. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't say, well, I don't want to burn. What did they say? Mm-hmm. We don't even have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Their answer to Nebuchadnezzar, we don't even have to think about it.
Right.
It doesn't matter to us if you know, whatever the case is, if God shows up and protects us or not,
mm-hmm.
we are still going to stand up here and we refuse to bow the knee to worship you, your idol as a god, you know?
So Rahab was in sin?
Well, yeah. just because she didn't have to lie, you know? And the thing about this is she took the, you know, she chose not to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel, you think about
that's
Daniel.
The one that usually people bring up, right? They usually bring up Rahab.
Actually, I find that most people don't read the Bible enough to even realize who Rahab was.
To know where she was.
Yeah.
It was Jericho. It was Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah, she was over there in the east corner. You know, well, think about Daniel.
In the wall.
What did Daniel need to do? I mean, he could have just not done his worship and prayers for 30 mm-hmm. days. And he said, I won't do it. If you notice, they all showed respect. They were all humble. A couple of them lied. A couple of them were deceptive. But the truly biblical ones that we can look at, you know, Daniel and such. Peter, even in Peter, he says, mm-hmm. 1 Peter 2, He says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it's to kings or to authorities or for governors sent by him to, as a punishment to evildoers and a praise to those who are right. For such is the will of God that you do right. We're talking about Peter. I mean,
yep.
You know, when you're talking Sons of Thunder, he was a louder one. He was louder of these guys, you know, and he's he's the guy that he was so boisterous and whatnot. And he says, for such is the will of God that you do right. And by your right doing, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as if you're free men. And do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, you know, theonomist, but use it as a bond slave of God. You know, I think a lot of people talk about their freedoms and whatnot, and they want to use it as a license for them to be able to stand up and say, well, since I disagree with the government, it's time to overthrow the government, time to go to war against the government. And you don't see that in scripture.
Yeah.
Kate, Humble Clay says, wasn't Peter the one that sliced off this guy's ear? Yeah. And look what God did to him. He absolutely humbled him.
But you know, and Peter, you know, again, you know, I always try to be fair, you know, to be fair, Peter lied about being associated with Jesus after the crucifixion as well. You know, he learned a lot from that.
Oh yeah.
You can see that. You can see that in his writing.
Well, but think about it too. Paul comes and absolutely eviscerates Peter. You know, he says,
yes.
I to his face.
He did.
You know, he absolutely just rips him apart, you hypocrite.
Yeah.
In front of everybody. I mean, because you're talking about, you know, the issue of people's soul. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't willing to back down a drop.
Nope.
And he went to him and they loved each other, you know. Peter submitted. He humbled himself. It is obvious that he, you know, fully agreed and understood what was being done, and he humbled himself before that correction. So
yeah, no, absolutely. You talk about a son of thunder, Paul.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. Could you? I mean, if you have a lot of Pauls around, you either get purified or angry really fast.
That's right. You talk about starting a war. I mean, start a war.
What is Acts 4:18 says? Well, here's Acts 4:18 tells them that Peter and John were together, and when they were told not to proclaim Jesus' name, not to speak in his name, he says that which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him, you be the judges. As for us, we cannot but speak about what we have seen and heard. So you see the humility on one side, that you submit in every way. You know, but I mean, you can go back and talk about Jesus in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
He was
absolutely. Yep. Same.
Yeah. He submitted to the true biblical ordinances, those that were right. And he never one time said, let's go get Caesar.
No,
you know, he says.
Now he certainly took some tongue shots at him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. So the difference there is that, yep. A lot of people will talk about the humility of Christ and how we're supposed to be, but we're not complete doormats either. You know, there's a big difference. And sometimes we're almost portrayed as, well, you just need to be a doormat and that's it. That's not how we're supposed to be. In fact, you know, Jesus gave us some insights onto that as well.
Oh, amen. Amen. Let me pull a couple more up. I mean, we're getting this. Let's see, what time is it right now? We're an hour and 53 in. Can you believe this, Sean?
Yeah, I made it. My wife didn't come get me to wrangle the kids.
I know. Okay, so I got a couple of things I want to pull out here because we're running out of a whole lot of time. Screen share. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. C-SPAN suspended the second debate moderator for lying about his Twitter account being hacked.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that?
Yep. I got it when it broke.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you think about it.
This is another win for Trump.
Yeah.
This is another silent win for Trump. He didn't have to say a thing or do a thing. It's because Steve Scully was the one who lied. He was the one who was immoral, saying that his Twitter was the one who was hacked because he had put the anti-Trump statements on there. And here he's supposed to be the moderator of the debate.
I want to pull out some of these October surprises just real fast, and then I want to finish up by asking you, I want you guys, both of you guys, to think about this. I want to ask you the big question. How can I, as a Christian, vote for Donald Trump, or how can I vote for Joe Biden? One of the two, because that's the only two we got, is those two. How can I justify voting for them if there's any biblical way to justify that? I want to go through these October surprises real quick. You have Trump's taxes. RBG dies. ACB is nominated in her hearings. She's going to be voted in. Looks like this Friday, I think it is. Next week, right? The debate, that was wonderful to see, wasn't it? Actually, when I watched that at first, I was really upset. Then I got to looking at it and seeing what he was doing. And he was actually causing him to say stuff that he's been trying to hide. The corruption of law enforcement branches of the FBI and CIA, and I'm not talking about your local law enforcement. This has been the October surprises. We have seen so much of the FBI and CIA has been, you know, outed and uncovered. Big tech censorship. I never thought that they would go so far as to, you know, McEnany and these guys, Trump, the Trump campaign manager. You had Ted Cruz. You've had so many that have been silenced. Then you have Christians all over the place being silenced. And this is, you know, been going on the past, you know, a few months, but it's been getting, you know, big time. You have, of course, we just talked about the campaigns, the C-SPAN suspended their debate moderator because he was caught lying. I'm sorry, but they've got to do better. They've got to get some people in there that will do a better job.
That's the debate commission. That's yeah. That needs to go away.
I agree.
It's kind of, they're kind of like the SBC. They just need to go away.
Amen.
There's, you have no business being in existence. You just need to go away.
Well, you have government mandated lockdowns, the whole thing about the churches being targeted, businesses. The backbone of our country is our small businesses. And if you can't keep going, you know, surprise, the country's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
You can't spend your way out of a crisis that we've got.
No, you're going to run out. You're going to run out of other people's money.
Yeah. We talked about the fact that Ted Cruz is demanding judicial oversight, you know, surprise, surprise. And then of course, you know, the big bomb is the emails. The question comes to me, two questions. One is, how can I trust my government when the swamp has just proven itself to be outright untrustworthy? And of course, the question I want to close with, leave you guys with, is if you think that we should vote for President Donald Trump or for Joe Biden, how is it from a biblical Christian standpoint? Can we do that?
It's easy. Real quick points. Number one, who's going to keep us safer? Who's going to protect the babies, our babies in the womb? That's the two big ones. Supreme Court is also one. And who's going to take on the big tech giants to not suppress us moving forward? Those are easy.
Amen.
And if you can't figure out from who I'm going to say from that, then I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I was going to say,
John?
Well, I was going to say, it's like, I don't look for my president as for a moral compass. You know, I look for a president who is able to do what he's supposed to do, which is swear and to uphold to protect the Constitution of our United States. That's what he's supposed to do. Now, when you compare the two between Trump and Biden, who's going to do that? It's going to be Trump who's going to protect and uphold the Constitution. That's all there is to it. When you look at the Democrat side of it, I mean, they're going to suppress, they're going to take away our freedoms. You can't deny it. You cannot deny it. I mean, you look at how they are, and they're just going to completely control us.
They've told us that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I live in Washington State, and right now our governor, Inslee, is insane, and he still has us on lockdown. He still won't open up all the restaurants. He still has a mask mandate where we all have to wear masks. It is incredibly stupid what we're going through right now. And he's a Democrat. And guess what? Biden said that he is considering Jay Inslee, our governor, as the attorney general for the U.S.
All right.
So
and Andrew Cuomo,
yeah,
he was looking for him. It's just nonsense.
Okay, maybe it was I got confused with which one, but okay, it was just Cuomo. Okay, my wife just said it's like, wait, it's Cuomo. Right. So that's insane.
That's okay. That's just as dumb.
Yeah, that is just insane. So yeah, it's crazy, just crazy.
So anyway, so let's leave it at this. As far as I have, studied and whatnot, I want to encourage everyone, if you have a conscience, vote your conscience. And is your conscience biblically informed? Then vote your biblically informed conscience. I'm personally, here's how I'm going to weigh this issue out on who I'm going to vote for. Andrew and Anthony said it last week, and I'm going to reiterate this because, I agree with my brothers wholeheartedly. I'm going to vote for the person that's going to help Christianity stand on its two feet on its own and not suppress Christianity. I'm going to vote for the one that is going to give me access to my constitutional freedoms and allow me to preach the gospel and proclaim its truth the most. That is the one that I believe that is going to be the one that I'm going to vote for, that I would encourage everyone to vote for. I'm going to vote tomorrow, and I hope that you guys get out and vote, and that we see a record number of people coming out and voting. Next week, I think we're going to talk about the Freemasons with Dr. Sean Wall.
Sure,
we may jump to a different subject. I don't know. Just whatever's most important, whatever looks best.
Whatever happens.
Yeah, whatever happens. Brother, I really appreciate you coming on. It is such a blessing. John,
no problem.
John, it's been great having you. Everybody, if you enjoyed the show, give it a big thumbs up, big like, share it. Get out here and let everybody know that they've got to come in and they've got to participate. They got to ask questions. This is your show. We try to throw out as much good content as we can. If you've enjoyed it, please let everybody know that you've really enjoyed it. And we want to make this platform something that you can enjoy and that could be yours as well, that you can come in, ask any questions you want. And from an apologetic standpoint, we want to look at every point of life because everything needs to be under the submission of Jesus Christ. Okay. Thank you guys. And I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.